Welcome back to The Digital Dive, a conversation about tech. My name is Jacqueline, and I'm one of your hosts.
My name is Darsh. I am your other host. And this week, we're doing a full breakdown on the WWDC keynote that just happened from the recording date of this. We're pretty much going to break down everything that happened at WWDC this year, talk about everything that's new when it comes to iOS, Apple TV OS, Watch OS, so on and so forth. Before we do get into that, I do want to throw it to Jacqueline for a quick little plug right here.
Ooh, okay. If you like what you hear this episode, it would actually really help us if you hit the follow button on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and make sure that you get notified of every episode. And it helps us get the show out to more people. Super stoked about this episode. We're not only going to be breaking down the news, but then we're also going to talk about things that other people haven't mentioned yet. So it's worth your while, even though it's obviously coming out on Monday because we post every Monday. So let's roll the intro and then we'll dive right in. All right, dude. WWDC, the biggest criticism for me out of everything was the fact that Apple Campus has Nitro Cold Brew as the only cold brew option. What the hell?
Really?
Yeah, that's what Renee Ritchie, he texted me and he was like, it's all Nitro, baby. And I was like, ugh, like, that sucks.
Ew. Well, in the ambiance of cold brew, I do have to mention that for this episode in specific, I did go pick up Justin Bieber's collaboration with Tim Hortons' their new cold brew. It's called Biebs Brew. It's a French vanilla flavored cold brew. And I have the strongest feeling it's going to taste like a vanilla sweet cream cold brew from Starbucks. But
I want to hear.
We're going to do a full trial. I'm going to give you guys the ASMR. I'm going to crank up my gain a little bit so you guys can fully hear this. All right. All right. Now I'm going to lower my gain again so you guys can actually hear me without me sounding like a degenerate. Anyway, my honest opinion, it doesn't taste that bad. It tastes pretty good. It just tastes like a vanilla flavored cold brew.
Paint us a picture. Is that what's the bitterness, the caffeine level?
Well, so it's cold brew. So cold brew's caffeine level is higher than that of just a normal coffee. So the caffeine content will be a little bit higher. It's not super bitter at all. It's pretty sweet, actually. If you ever had a French vanilla from Tim Hortons, and this is a very niche kind of request or kind of taste profile to relate back to, but it's effectively what it tastes like, but cold. It tastes like a French vanilla from Tim Hortons, but cold and not as coffee potent. Or let's say a little bit more coffee potent, because the French vanillas from Tim Hortons are very sweet. This has a little bit more of the coffee flavor in it. But it's good. I actually kind of like this. It's not bad.
I really want one now. That is so unfortunate. Darsh, I was actually invited to speak at a conference. I said no because it just didn't line up. But I was invited to speak at a conference in Toronto next week.
Oh,
which would have been a lot of fun.
I would have made the trip. I would have made the trip downtown.
Yeah,
that would have been cool.
I'm bummed about it, but maybe next year, and then we'll try the coffee if it's still in stock. But yeah, one of my good friends actually works at a coffee shop now. I'm meeting them for coffee right after we record this podcast, and I think that is the coolest job of all time. Being a barista, I think is so sick because you get so much social interaction with all the people, the customers and stuff. But then also, I feel like you just learn how to make so many drinks.
Oh, absolutely. You get that cool experience of actually being able to make everything. A friend of mine, for example, used to work at Booster Juice. And I was talking to her, I went to Booster Juice to go get a smoothie when I was at home. I went after the gym. I needed a protein shake and I didn't know where else to get protein from because I didn't have any at home. I was just visiting.
Okay.
Anywho, I went to Booster Juice to go get a protein shake, and I sent her a picture of it because I knew that she used to work there. And so I sent it to her and she was like, oh, yo, I literally know how to make that. I can just make that off the top of my head. That's just something I know how to do from the back of my mind. I think that's kind of just really interesting. It's something that I would love and aspire to kind of be able to do.
Me too. I totally agree. At some point, I think I want to work at Starbucks or something and just learn how to make the stuff. Because I feel I don't know. I also just think it's a really cool atmosphere. I love the coffee shop atmosphere, and to have that as your work environment, I think it's pretty sick.
Well, I mean, if you wanted to actually learn how to make all of these, you could effectively, if you really, really want it, you'd probably find a Skillshare course or something online and actually learn how to make all the drinks.
That's
learn
valid.
How to make Starbucks specific drinks, which I feel might be a little bit of skills in the trade, kind of not ideal. I don't know how to necessarily describe it, but yeah, I feel like you could probably find a Skillshare course on how to make these kind of coffees.
Yeah, I agree. I think that you could probably find it online. Honestly, what I could do is I could work at Apple in the cafe at Apple Park, because Apple Park has a visitor center cafe where they have a bunch of these drinks, which prompted this whole convo. And actually, WWDC was there this year, and it was the first time that a bunch of tech YouTubers were in person together in 2 years. So, because I went to Google I.O., but it was only two of us, or three of us, all together, two of us not including me. This is the first time there were a bunch of people there. which is so exciting. And so let's talk about WWDC. We thought the atmosphere of an in-person event, but it's hybrid because they did have a lot of cutaway shots, etc.
No, absolutely. Well, let's just start out with first and foremost, I think the most popular conversation from this event, at least in my eyes, was probably iOS 16 and the M2. I felt like those two kind of stood out to me the most in terms of new features and I guess just new design languages that we haven't necessarily seen yet, especially I guess with the M2, because that is a much more defined and well-manufactured piece of hardware.
I think I agree. I think the most memeable moment was the photo of Craig, I don't know why I just pronounced his name like that. That was weird. That was the most noticeable moment. But I agree. I was 16. So just to give like people a quick overview, obviously we feel like you've heard a lot of it, so we're not going to bore you with the details. But I think the main changes were the lock screen widget additions. So for example, a couple new things here. You can add weather, activity, battery notifications, like widgets basically to your lock screen, which is awesome. And again, I think we should say before we hop in, like a lot of these features were already on Android and other operating systems. It does not mean Apple invented them, but it just means iOS users will get access to them. And they did also fine tune things and bring new things that other people haven't. The second thing that I think is worth noting is the wallpaper integration, where like it will cut out the person from the wallpaper or the subject and then put the time behind it. And so this feature kind of relates to the iMessage feature where you can like cut out a subject from an image and just send just the subject with like a alpha background. And this, I think, just shows that Apple's been getting a lot better with edge detection with portrait mode. So it's a cool feature. It just enhances the way the lock screen looks. And that, I think, is like the biggest aesthetic change for the lock screen.
Yeah. What I'm actually curious about with this is that what if it's you can only use pictures that are, how do I say this, like taken on your phone in portrait mode?
You can use any picture.
You can use any picture.
Yeah. Or, I mean, it won't necessarily universally work for everything, but it's not like, oh, it has to be portrait mode. You can try it with any picture.
Okay, because I was thinking that, like, with portrait mode, that kind of makes sense, right? Like, when you're taking these pictures, your phone is actually identifying the foreground, the background, and it's going to actually do that kind of meshing together so that it makes it so that you can actually blur out the background, make it more seem like it was actually taken with a lower aperture camera where you get that shallow depth of field. But here, effectively, if they're able to do this all through software, that's really cool, especially with how they went about doing the like widgets. I find that it's not overly done. It's like they'll give you the information and the things that you need, but at the same time, it's not like it's taking up your entire lock screen. But then they also tried making your lock screen more aesthetic too, like by adding all of your notifications coming in from the bottom, like order tracking, stuff like that, all just showing up on your lock screen at the bottom rather than on top. So you can actually see the pictures that you're putting on your wallpaper. Because yeah. I don't know, Jacqueline, like maybe it's just me, but every time I like stop kind of using my phone for a little bit and I kind of just like let all of my notifications kind of pile up quite a bit, I noticed that I like necessarily can't really see my lock screen photo. Like the other day I was actually thinking about what was my lock screen photo because I hadn't seen it in a while, because I literally haven't checked any of my notifications in days.
Yeah, me too. That is exactly the thing. And like my lock screen is an MBT wallpaper, and so the logo is like right in the center, and so that easily gets crowded. So another new addition here is that the notifications will come up from the bottom and they'll be grouped differently. And so I think that that actually is going to be a big deal.
Oh, absolutely. I think also one of the things that I thought in iOS 16 that was quite interesting that had me pretty excited was, at least within the messaging app, like I feel like iMessage has been kind of lackluster in terms of features and like the feature set that it's been providing over the past couple of years. Like Apple has been very slow to upgrade it to kind of compete with other messaging services that do go cross-platform, like Messenger, for example, or WhatsApp, or Facebook Messenger, or Instagram Messenger. Like all these different messaging applications, they all have like delete message, for example, or edit message. These are all features that aren't necessarily new. And I've been waiting for Apple to actually start integrating this into iMessage and into iOS. And so it's a really great addition to see this year that they're actually going to give you the opportunity to, one, correct typos. So there's no more asterisks being sent after you mess up typing yes and write best or something. I don't know.
Well, I think the bigger, it's like, if you send like the F word and it sends duck.
Yo, that is such a common issue, but I kind of lean into it. I'm not going to lie to you.
Do you? It frustrates me. Like it actually makes me more annoyed when it happens.
Well, I'm like, you know what? Like it just makes my text message conversations very PG.
Okay.
Like you go through it, you're not going to see a swear word in there. You're going to see duck every 5 seconds. Like, it's not going to be anything else. It's literally just every time every time I'm trying to use it as an adjective, because like the F word is used as an adjective quite a bit, I find, but it does try to use this ducking sucks. Like, it's just yes, a lot easier. I kinda
for
like
sure. Yeah, that's so funny. Yeah, and the other one that also happens to me is I one time sent a text to someone that was like not meant for them and it was very bad. And so there's also a undo send feature, which I think will be life-changing because I always hit the send button before I actually confirm who I'm sending it to. And so this one is the bigger deal to me. And both of them only work within 15 minutes, but I feel like I normally notice right away that I've sent it to the wrong person.
Well, no, that's good. So it's not like you can go after the fact and change an entire conversation.
Exactly. Right?
Like if you're sitting and you're having a conversation with someone, like say you're having a fight with your significant other, for example, and you want to bring up that conversation and like actually show, like go back to it with them and like break it down, like talk it through, figure it all out, for example, right? Like if you're in a relationship where this person is going to sit down and just like change all of the messages after the fact, so it makes it seem like you are the bad guy, or like even just in any kind of situation where you have to reference messages, like it just makes it a lot easier that it's only in 15 minutes. So you only have that 15 minute window just to correct mistakes. It's not like you're going to change an entire conversation.
Totally. Yeah. Have you ever sent a text message to the wrong person, Darsh?
Oh, like a couple hundred times. I think I messaged like someone the other day by accident. Like I'd meant to send it to someone else. Like I had meant to like invite someone else out, like to go hang out or something.
God.
I ended up messaging the complete wrong person. Hey, we can hang out too, but like I actually meant that for someone else.
Oh
like,
God. Shit. Wow. Shocking that you admitted it.
Oh no, I didn't admit it to them. You crazy? No.
Oh,
I'm just
okay.
Glad they don't listen. I'm glad they don't listen to the podcast. Like that's just my like they're never gonna know.
That's
like they'll never know.
Oh my God, that's like the worst ever. Oh my God. Yeah. There's so many examples where it's like just bad. I mean, I've definitely done the type of thing where like I'll send a personal text to someone else or like I'll accidentally like without thinking. This one actually happens a lot. I will accidentally sign off like a work email with like love because I'm just like not thinking. Instead of like best Jacqueline, I'll be like love Jacqueline. I'm like, oh shoot. Like maybe I shouldn't do that. So now you can just undo it or edit it. So that's pretty sick. And then the other one that's big is the unread. That I think is really cool because a lot of times I'll open up a message because I want to see what the person sent, but I won't have time to respond to it yet. But then I forget to respond. So now you can like mark it as unread, which is great.
No, that actually is very, very useful because I do the exact same thing. And then I'll message someone back like 6 days later and be like, oh, I was just going through my messages and I realized the last one was you and I didn't respond because I checked it and I forgot to actually respond later like I had planned. So I apologize. Like
yes.
Having to actually go back and do that, like being able to do this, like these are just small little intricacies of like a messaging platform that I feel like are actually going to be so useful. And even actually bringing SharePlay now to messages too, like that was chef's kiss. That was perfect. That was amazing. I thought that was a genius idea.
Yeah. And I think also like the thing that I have with the unread messages, which someone asked about on this live podcast that I was doing with Michael Fisher, and we don't know the answer yet. If you mark it as unread, you know how there's read receipts on my message?
Yeah.
Does it then mark it as unread for the other person too?
See, that's the thing. I don't like that. That would be a good question. Actually, I was just thinking about something very similar. Yeah. Like would it undo the read? But what if they're looking at it as you read it and then it says read and then you unread it and then it goes away?
I know. It's like, how do they do that? That is something that I'm curious to check out.
Well, I think actually that could be pretty useful because if you did do that, right? Like some people get offended if you leave them on read, right?
Totally.
Like if you send someone a message and then you, like it shows up as read and you haven't responded. I think that if you were able to take it away, then maybe the people would start to see like, oh, okay, no, like they read it, but they're going to respond later. They have it set as an unread message that they can actually respond later when they have a chance. But I feel that also could end up being this whole other argument about that's rude to do or something or the other. Like, Jack, actually, I have a question for you. What are your thoughts on that? Like, on read, like getting left on read? Like, do you find it offensive if they message you back later? Or is it something that, like, you don't really care much about?
I think it depends, right? Like, I think if you're, like, if a friend leaves you on read or, like, a family member, I think, like, it's not really, like, that offensive. But, like, if you're talking to, like, someone in, like, a romantic way and they leave you on read, then I think that you think about it a lot more. You're like, oh, like, did I say something wrong? Or, like, why aren't they interested? You know what I mean? Like, I think it's different because I think like even for Snapchat, people get offended, like, or they at least did, like when you would open up a Snapchat and then not respond back. But like, I would never overthink that if it was a best friend. So I think it just depends on the context.
Oh, absolutely. Like if it comes to a romantic entanglement, like it's like more of a significant other kind of situation. The moment that you get put into that place where it's like, oh, like they left me on, like, what did I do? Like, did I do something wrong?
Yes.
So I definitely can understand that kind of anxiety that does come with, like, with being left on read there. But yeah, like friends and family, like my buddy and I talk about this, like sometimes he'll send me like memes on Instagram and he'll say like I've read it, but I won't respond for like a day or so and I'll be like, yo, sorry, I didn't get a chance, like I saw that you sent me all these things, I wanted to see how many you sent, but like there's like 7 Instagram reels here that I have to go through, so give me like a little bit of time to like actually go through it and then I'll respond to them for you. Like, just like give me some time. He's like, yo, like literally take as much time as you need, like you're busy, go do your own thing, and then whenever you have a chance we'll chat.
Yeah.
And I was like, I appreciate that, like that kind of understanding. But I do also get like with someone that you're seeing that like it could get a little bit more messy if you're
Yes. Speaking of bed etiquette, dude, I just want your take on this quickly. If you are running late to something, do you think it is rude to show up with a fresh iced coffee?
Do you want my honest opinion?
Yeah.
Yeah, like a little bit. Like how late?
Let's say you're like 10 minutes late. I think it's a little rude, right?
Yeah, well, it depends on the event. Like, depends on the thing. Like, if you're running late to like your friend's place and you're going to go see them, like it's more of a casual thing and like you're 10 minutes late and you have a coffee with you, that's not a big deal. But if you're going to like a business meeting or you're going to like meet people and like it's just at like a restaurant or like you're going to meet them for like a meeting or something, you show up 10 minutes late with a coffee, like it's a little more like not okay. Like I went to class yesterday late.
Okay.
I woke up in the morning and we didn't have coffee beans here. So I was like, okay, shoot, I'm just gonna pick up my coffee on my way. 8:30 a.m. class. I was like, this is gonna be like exhausting already because I'm already tired and I don't want to go. So I was like, forget it. I'll just go get a coffee on my way to class. I go pick it up. I'm 5 minutes late to class. I walk up with my coffee. I lucked out because my prof wasn't there. He showed up after I did.
Oh
so
my God.
I got to play it off as I'd been there the entire time, just waiting for him with my coffee. But I was a little concerned that if I showed up late to class and I had a coffee in my hand, he was probably going to get mad at me. So like, I kind of see both sides of it. Like if it's a casual thing, it's fine. But if you're like a set meeting where like you have to be there on time, then like being late with a coffee is like kind of, it just comes off a little, not the greatest on your end.
But you know what I think you can do if you like need the coffee for some reason? I think if you bring it for the other person that you're meeting, it becomes more okay.
Yes. Yes. Like that's the thing. Like I was going to be late. So I was going to message like the kids in my class and be like, there's only four of us. So I was going to be like, yo, like, anyone want coffee?
Yes.
From, like McDonald's. Like I'm going right now. Anyone want? Like then it's not as bad.
Yeah. Then it's like, oh, he's actually kind of a thoughtful guy. Like then you're the hero because now everyone has a coffee versus if you just show up with your own coffee and you're late, it's like so disrespectful.
But it's kind of jokes though, that like the idea is that like you need to save someone with a coffee. You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
Like you're saving. Like, I don't know. It's just really weird that like to think like, oh yeah, like the saving grace of this meeting is coffee.
I know.
But it's true. It's a true thing. It's like you bring coffee to a meeting. It's wow. This is fantastic.
You're
so nice of you. Like that you're the person, you're the go-to, but you're the goat, but now it's not necessarily the case.
Totally. Yeah. You know, I really took us off the rails here, but I agree. I also think like, it's kind of just like a social experience to have coffee, which the other like, so wow, I was going to try to do a transition, but I can't even think fast enough. But we're just going to talk about it. Watch OS 9, some new updates. It has new watch faces. It has heart rate zones now. So it will like tell you if you're in a good like zone. It has multi-sport workouts. It also has AFib history now, which is a new thing that they're hoping is going to get approved by the FDA. Custom workouts, redesigned calendar app, cross-device connectivity with Apple TV, background color editor for the watch faces, sleep stages, kickboard detection, a medications app now to like remind you to take your meds. And then
I actually really like that.
I think it's really smart. Yeah. Cause I take allergy medicine and I constantly forget to take it.
No, absolutely. Like even like, I remember when I got my wisdom teeth out, for example, right? Like I had antibiotics and I had anti-inflammatory pills that I had to take every single day around a certain time, like with food and stuff like that. Right. And so I'd always forget to take it. It'd be like the end of the day, like, shoot, like I haven't taken like half my pills today. Like, I'm like, what? What's going on? So like, just like specific times, where like maybe even for the people who like myself, who aren't very used to taking pills on a regular basis or taking a medication on a regular basis, like it's a good reminder to have. And like, it also does keep a log of it for you. So it also get like, you're actually able to keep a log of everything that you're taking. And it gives you on top of all of that, like cross side effect warnings. Like, do not take this with alcohol. Like it will make the side effects 10 times worse. Like that kind of thing. They'll let you know that there's going to be this kind of cross effect that's going to take place. So I think it's a genius app.
Yeah, I think it's really smart. Obviously, like there's a lot of like, how are they going to encrypt this data? Because it's obviously sensitive data. I saw that coming up a lot on Twitter. But I think it's super smart. You also have expanded keyboard languages. And that's basically it for the watchOS 9. But I feel like that's actually a lot of updates all packed in one. But I think like the biggest updates this year were the M2 and the new hardware, MacBook Air, MacBook Pro. And so I think Darsh and I are going to take a quick break right now. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about macOS 13, the new M2 and the new MacBook Pros, because there's a lot there.
Absolutely. We'll be right back. I think I might have to go grab another Biebs brew. I'm not going to lie.
Ooh.
Pretty good. Everybody, welcome back from the break. I hope you guys got something to drink. Ideally, if you are in Canada, I would say get a Biebs brew. It's actually not that bad. I've been really, really enjoying it while we've been doing this episode, and it definitely did wake me up quite a bit. Now that we're back from the break, though, I definitely do want to talk a little bit about Macs, and in specific, the M2, mostly because I wasn't personally, well, I was kind of expecting an M2 release at this WWDC, but I didn't expect to see both a MacBook Air and a MacBook Pro. But I guess it does kind of come, it does make sense considering last year was where we saw the M1 and the MacBook Air and the baseline MacBook Pro. So overall here with the M2, Jacqueline, what are your thoughts?
I'm super stoked about it, actually. I think that the M2 has a lot of noticeable improvements. I also think that the biggest thing, honestly, is going to be the fact that the new MacBook Air features like the MagSafe and the fast charging to get to 80% in 20 minutes. Starts at like $1,200. It's 11 millimeters thick and it's 2.7 pounds. Oh, can I tell you a pet peeve? I hate when people say 11 millimeters thin because it's really thick, right? Like it's like a weird psychological, like trying to make it sound like when you say thick, then it sounds thicker than if you say 11 millimeters thin.
Well, also like the MacBook Air does have a like an angled kind of design. Like it does taper off a bit. So I feel like when they say 11 millimeters thin, I feel like they're somewhat referring there to the thinnest point of the computer, whereas the thickest point would probably be like 13 or 14.
That makes more sense. I can see that. It also has a 13.6-inch display with 500 nits of brightness. And then it has the notch, which has the new 1080p camera. Obviously, the camera, though, has this new feature, which we should talk about, desk view, where if you want to, you can mount your iPhone to your computer and get both a better video camera, but then also it will use the ultrawide to get a view of your desk so you can present stuff that's on your desk as well if you want to. Two angles from one camera.
Yeah, actually, that's kind of crazy. And I think that I actually really do like it, especially for myself. Like, I have an older Mac, and I don't know if it's going to be the case where this also does work with the older Macs, and I really do hope that it is. But my laptop's, like, webcam sucks. And if I was in, like, a more professional call and I actually wanted to, like, look very presentable, I'd want to use my iPhone camera. Like, I wouldn't want to have to necessarily use my laptop's webcam. And I feel like there's been an opportunity here for a feature like this for a very long time, and I'm really happy that it's actually coming out now.
Totally agreed. I know there was like a lot of backlash on Twitter that was like, just put a better webcam in. I agree with it. I can see it. But I think like the webcam still works. It's just if you want that extra level of quality or dynamic, like multiple angles and stuff. And so I actually think it's a pretty cool feature. The most annoying part is obviously that you have to buy like that Belkin accessory. You know what would have been really cool? If they put MagSafe into the top of the MacBook Air and then you could just mount it via MagSafe. I feel like that would have been cool, but we didn't see that this year. The other thing that is also worth noting is that the macOS 13 is honestly like the thing that I think is going to add a lot of changes to the actual device, including Stage Manager. So it helps you like keep organized. If you use like one single view mode, like one desktop, you can easily switch between apps. And then Spotlight Search is also improved. So you can like search for images and kind of like be like, look up a cat and then have like all your photos of a cat come up. And then you also have like the Mail app has unsending emails, scheduling messages, including reminders. I haven't used the Mail app in years, but it's still nice to see it for people that do use the Mail app.
Honestly, though, the way that they've been upgrading the Mail app over time makes me feel more inclined to actually switch back to the Mail app versus like using Spark that I currently use.
Interesting.
Now. I don't know why. Like, I feel like at least in one aspect, the design elements they do and they have brought to Mail has made it a lot more aesthetically pleasing to my eye. So I definitely am a little bit more intrigued there. But ultimately, like macOS is going to be sick for what they're able to do. So like for one, like Safari has a huge update this year where you're going to be able to have actual shareable tab groups so that when you're planning a trip, for example, or like say that you're looking to buy a new car and you have like all these different options and you're just looking through, you can actually have a shared group that you can share with the people who are involved in that process so that if anyone does want to communicate and chat about or like share any of this information, they can just continuously add. And then from that share group itself, you can actually send a message or start a call so you guys can chat even further about whatever it is that shared topic is. So like for school, for example, as a student, as someone in school, this could be infinitely so useful for all these students who are like working on group projects together. Because then you have a shared group of tabs where you're able to actually like continuously add resources and add opportunities for your teammates to actually expand what they need to know for the presentation, for example. And then if anyone has a question or anyone needs to just jump on a call real quick, you can just literally quickly just tap it right there and then boom, you're in.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually a pretty big deal. I think that's a really promising feature.
Yeah, it has me very excited. Honestly, like even Stage Manager, and they're bringing this to the iPad OS too, which is also quite exciting. So like Stage Manager is effectively letting you organize your desktop when you have multiple windows open in such a way that it pushes all of your different windows to the side on the left-hand side. And it looks like it's sitting in the dock almost. And it brings your main tab and or main window in front of you that you can actually interact with. And then you can even have them paired. So Safari and Mail app paired together. If you're sending an email that requires a little bit of research or a little bit of reference to a website, for example, then you have the two together. And then you want to switch quickly to your Spotify and your calendar, because you wanted to reorganize your calendar while listening to some music. So you have all these different things to be able to present it like a stage rather than as a like just kind of huddle of windows. And I did want to actually just kind of switch this quickly to iPadOS with regard to the stage manager, because they are bringing it to iPad. And I'm honestly pretty thrilled about it. I think this makes the iPad experience so much more productive, because you can actually have like this is now going to be introducing like multi-window support for the iPad. Then you'll be able to have multiple windows open at once.
Yeah. I think that that is a big deal. But the other iPadOS thing that's a cool thing is like now when you plug into an external display, it doesn't just do mirroring, but you can actually have a separate desktop window.
That is going to be a big play. Honestly, the iPad has been getting a lot of really, really cool updates. And honestly, like I kind of want to upgrade my iPad now. Like this new fleet of Apple devices actually has me just really, really excited. And just not for anything else other than just the productivity that it can offer. Because there's just everything's becoming easier to be productive on. Like your phone is becoming a lot more productive. Your iPad is becoming so much more productive. Like I would actually argue I would rather have my iPad on me on a daily basis than my laptop at this point. Especially if I could get like one of those standing cases. Like, whew. It just makes sense to me.
Totally agreed. Yeah. I think that's like the iPad is getting a lot of new features and stuff, but like I would still use a computer for computer things because it's like a little easier. Like I feel like you have to work slightly harder to make the iPad work in the same environments. But there are a lot of people that like adore the iPad and are going to be stoked about this. And I think also just in general, like the other features, like with Safari being updated, like there's just a lot of important, like I'm surprised that they're able to still create such huge feature differences every year and think of new things every year, because like we're at such a mature place with the software. I don't know. It's just impressive to me that there are new features coming out like all the time.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be really, really cool to see how we're able to actually use our devices in such a way that it is so... I've said productive like 1,000 times. Like in the past like 10 seconds, I feel like I've said productive a solid few times. And speaking about being productive, I actually been looking for many new ways to be productive, specifically within my own like day-to-day life. And I think I want to do a little bit of a switch up here and switch to some stuff that we like this week. In specific, I want to talk about some stuff that I've been using for productivity that I've just been finding to be quite useful. But before I do get into that, I do want to throw it to Jack. I'm going to put you on the spot and have you start out with number
one. Okay. My first one is Ryan Trahan's new series. It's basically 2016 vlogging with 2022 packaging, meaning that I feel like YouTube has kind of become a little bit stale in some ways of like, just like everyone just spending a lot of money and doing challenges, but with no purpose is like what it feels like a lot of the content is right now. Focusing just on like sensationalism and spectacle and retention, which is great in its own way. But like, I also think that 2016 had this vulnerable, meaningful human connection that was lost when we started doing stuff like that. And so Ryan Trahan has all of the skills and mindset of optimizing content with great title and thumbnail, but then the videos feel so authentic to 2016. And it just feels like this is the moment like that YouTube shifts again. I feel like YouTube as a platform has a couple of key defining moments, whether that be 2016, the daily vlog, and then 2019, the Mr. Beast type of content. And Mr. Beast constantly is pushing the envelope and doing amazing things. But I feel like this is like the time when 2016 and 2022 kind of merge together, and it's like conceptual vlogging because it's all based around the idea that like, can he survive on a penny? So like there is like that concept and the tension and the spectacle, but then it's mixed with the authenticity and like his daily life. And so I've been loving this series so far.
Damn, that's awesome. You said it's Ryan Serhant?
Ryan Trahan.
Trahan. Sorry. I thought it was Ryan Serhant for a second. I was like, wait a minute. Like I feel like that sounds so familiar.
Ryan Serhant is also a YouTuber actually, who's really good. I think he's a real estate agent, but Ryan Trahan.
He's the real estate one. Okay.
Ryan Trahan, I'll send it to you because he's been on the platform for years. He actually just did an interview with Colin Smear, which was really great. And it talks all about like how he actually wants to make meaningful stuff and not just make content for making content's sake. And I also feel like you and I could probably learn a lot from him from like packaging and stuff because he just kills the title and thumbnail.
Nah, that's actually crazy. Like, absolutely, I will have to check that out. That makes sense why I recognize the name, because I saw Colin and Samir's story.
Ooh, that makes sense.
So that tracks. So my productivity tip that I had that I wanted to talk about as the stuff I like this week is related to iPadOS. It's Quick Note. So able to like just swipe up from the bottom right of my screen to start a Quick Note. So what I started doing was while I'm in class, for example, I like the idea of having an agenda, but I don't actually like having an agenda.
Okay.
Does that make sense? I like actually being able to just quickly like write down what I have to do that day rather than actually going about like writing it into a journal. So, or putting it in my calendar, because everything already is in my calendar. I don't check it as is for the most part. So what I started doing was in class, where I just swipe up from the bottom right and it keeps the same quick note open the entire time. So throughout the week, I'll just keep adding things I need to do during the week. And then by the end of the week, I'll have it all as a checklist, see if I need to finish anything else, and then I can delete it and start again the next week. And so I started doing that the past week or two, just to start making my life a little bit easier. And I found it to be quite useful.
That's awesome. Yeah, I honestly, like, I feel like anything that helps you in that way, like with productivity and like staying on track, is huge. Like Notion for me is a big one. I feel like I've talked about that as the stuff we like to see before, but that one genuinely like has changed my entire life. And I recommend it to every single person I know.
Honestly, it is a very powerful tool. I wish that it had better, not better, but I wish it had like Google integration, because that was my big issue with it, because I want the ability to customize a workspace where I'm able to actually control everything, but I want it to be able to integrate into my
current operational systems.
And because I can't, and I end up using like three different apps, I just get really frustrated. So I just started doing everything in a very basic sense instead of being on Notion. But I was on Notion for a very long time and it was so useful.
Yeah, no, me too. I would love it to integrate into Google Calendar, but even without that integration, I still use it for nearly everything. Okay, my second one for this week is a song called Haley's Comet by Billie Eilish. I re-added it to my playlist. I listened to it a lot when it came out, but it's back on there now. So I think that's my second and last one for this week.
All right. My second and last one for this week is actually a show called The Boys. I don't know if you've ever actually heard of it, Jacqueline.
No, I haven't.
It's filmed in Toronto. It's a mature rated show. It is a bit gory, I'm not going to lie. I don't know if I'd recommend it for Jacqueline specific for that purpose. But it is actually a really cool show. It's about the idea like that superheroes, so imagine like Marvel, for example, like the Avengers living in the real world. But not only are they superheroes, but rather there are corrupt, egotistical maniacs who work as superheroes, but also work as actors and are like famous because of it. And they reap the profits of it because it's all privatized. Wow. So like one company, Vought, owns all the superheroes pretty much. And they all work for Vought. And Vought kind of is like Marvel and like Disney in the sense that they're like a huge conglomerate that has like pharmaceuticals. They have like tech. They have like pretty much everything you need. They kind of run the world almost. And with these superheroes, they run it even further.
Wow.
So the entire show is about like them kind of crazy and like this group of the boys pretty much who are trying to expose them for being like, for lack of a better word, bad.
That is actually like a really interesting premise.
It's really cool. They're on their third season right now. It just came out. I believe actually the third season, it might be the fourth, but I believe it's the third season. It just came out. I watched the first three episodes. They come out on a weekly basis. It's on Prime. It's a Prime original, and I'd say it's pretty good. Like I've really enjoyed it.
Wow. That's actually, yeah, I feel like if the premise of a show is good, like if the question's really good, then there's a lot of room. Like if they're just good storytellers, the whole thing comes together. And that's actually a really interesting premise.
No, it's really, really good. I'm a huge fan of it. But with that being said, I think that's going to wrap up this episode for this week. And with that being said, I want to give a huge shout out to Adil Constantine, as always, for the amazing intro and outro music. On top of that, I want to give a huge thank you to you, the listeners, for actually taking some time to sit down and listen. And if you enjoyed this episode, and if you stuck out this far through, you may be interested in going to drop us a review on Apple Podcasts. Let us know how we're doing. Let us know if you guys want to see any different types of things on the podcast. You always want to see different guests. Let us know. Tweet at us at Digital Dive Pod. Keep us informed. Let us know what you guys want to hear about on these weekly episodes coming out 7 a.m. Central and 8 a.m. Eastern. Jacqueline, any final words?
No. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. We appreciate you, and we will catch you next week.
All right. See you.